Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The long hiatus is over. This is episode 187 of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Midtown and Rebound podcast network, brought to you by the Fans First Sports Network family. I am Sean St. Jacques. This is the Shock Shock Knicks podcast. It has finally returned. Our long, way too long hiatus is over. We are finally back. We are on a new network. Happy to be part of the Fans First Sports Network. Finally getting this first new podcast out with the new network. Extremely excited. It's been a long few months. Maybe it feels like a few months. It's been at least a month and a half of going through this process. And yeah, I've had a lot of other things going on, you know, with my main career, with personal stuff, traveling back down to Florida for work for 2023. Lots been going on, but this is finally official. It's technically been official for a few weeks, but now we're putting pen to paper here and we're putting out a new podcast. Very, very exciting. I just want to, first of all, thank all of you for sticking with this. I can't wait to see this podcast continue to grow. You know, there was a moment there, as you know, from the last one we recorded, the abbreviated show, where I didn't know what the future of the show was going to be. I wanted to continue it. I didn't know what it was going to look like. Here we are. We now get to continue to do it. So I just want to thank everybody over at Fans First Sports Network. Brian Salvatore was the one who recruited me to come on and do this. And he's the one that hosts the Amazing Avenue Mets podcast back in the SB Nation catalog. He's continuing to do that. And I can't wait to continue to do this show with a huge group of great podcasters. So this is a very exciting day. This is a very exciting show. We will talk a lot about the red hot New York Knickerbockers on the show. The Knicks are in the playoffs. They are going to play the Cavs in the first round. We'll talk about it, and we'll talk about the end of the regular season, what's to come. And I do want to touch on what's continued to be a soap opera, crazy, wacky saga that is the Western Conference playoff chase. So we'll get to all of it. But again, thank you so much for sticking with this show. I can't wait to see how not only the Midtown and Rebound Knicks, umbrella of podcasts grows moving forward, including this show, the Shock Shock Knicks podcast, but then also Fans First Sports Network is going to grow quite a bit, and it's going to be really, really fun to be a part of it. The goal right now is to now start to do the show multiple times a week. I can't promise you it's going to be the same amount of time each episode. Some of the episodes will likely be shorter. But I want to do playoff recaps. I want to do, NBA playoff shows about the other games. Like, I want to be doing a lot. So we're going to try to expand it as best we can. And it is certainly not going to be one episode a week like we've been doing it. We're going to try to expand. So it's very exciting. Thrilled to be a part of it. And again, at SSaintJ7 on Twitter is the place to go to keep up with what I'm doing. And to ask questions, to get involved with the show, that's still the best place to do it. But you can also go to @FansFirstSN on Twitter to keep track of my podcast, but also the family of podcasts that we have going up daily. So fans of all sports, fans of any market, you're covered. We have it all. It's very, very exciting stuff. So let's jump in. Actually, one more quick thing. Beg your pardon. One more quick thing. For those that still follow postingandtoasting.com, I still will be working with them on a writing basis only. Obviously, the podcast has now been moved away from SB Nation. So again, on Twitter, whether it's for my handle or the Fans First Sports Network, handle Fans First SN or at SSJ7. Those are the two places to keep up with my podcasting stuff. And then if you want to keep up with my writing stuff, postingandtoasting.com under my name, Sean St. Jacques, or keep it on Twitter. I always post my articles on Twitter, and it'll be the same thing for this podcast. So this has been a crazy couple of weeks. You know, while all this stuff's been going on behind the scenes, I've been thrilled with the way the Knicks have been playing. It's as well as the Knicks have played, I think, since I've been a fan of the team. I've been still keeping, you know, tabs on other Knick friends and people in sports media, just getting their thoughts on it. And it's been really interesting to see people respect the Knicks. It doesn't happen often. And it's a beautiful thing to start to see as this season goes along. And it wasn't like this early in the season. I think that needs to be reiterated, right? It was a thing early in the year where, yes, the Knicks got Jalen Brunson, but they'd given up so much to get him that we weren't sure if it was worth it. And then, you know, you would see signs of it. It would be a little hit or miss at times with the team. And, you know, they'd go on a 2-game winning streak, then a 3-game losing streak, then a 4-game winning streak. Then they lose 4 in a row after that. And we weren't really sure. And the more I watch the team play, the more that I'm convinced that the Josh Hart acquisition has just totally changed the trajectory of the Knicks season and potentially of the Knicks franchise for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Bringing in a glue guy, and he's really more than that. I think that Josh Hart doesn't always, by the way, throughout his entire NBA career, has not always gotten the recognition that he deserves because players in that role just don't get it, right? They don't get that recognition that the stars get in the NBA. And Josh Hart is somebody who's a jack of all trades, a Josh of all trades, dare I say. And not only is he a 3-and-D guy, but on defense, he can guard multiple positions. He's going to get in the passing lanes. He's going to make things difficult for opposing offenses to run their sets. And he can guard the best players on the opposition team, almost regardless of position. It's really impressive. And I wrote an article about this a few weeks ago. Actually, it was about a week ago. Basically talking about one of the interesting things with Josh Hart is that so many times over the years, I've talked to Knicks fans, and I've had this thought myself, where when the Knicks haven't played well, you hear this, you hear the narrative of they don't play like a Knicks team. They don't play like the Knicks. You know, they don't represent the city of New York like they should. And to me, and maybe you listening have a different definition of this, to me, that means hard nose, extra effort, diving on the floor, breaking up passes, hard fouls in the paint, being aggressive on offense, taking contact, and making things happen on both ends of the floor, whether it's making a key steal on the defensive end or a big rebound, or an offensive rebound putback or an extra pass for a three. It's the little things that the New York fans appreciate. Because New York fans are the most knowledgeable in all of sports. It just, there really is no comparison, in my opinion. And they know it when they see it. And Josh Hart is the epitome of that. He plays like a Knick. He plays like you have to play when you play your home games at Madison Square Garden. And it has become infectious. It has spread throughout the rest of the team. You're seeing Mitchell Robinson up his game. Emmanuel Quickley's had the best stretch of play in his entire career over these last 2 or 3 months. He's been phenomenal. And he's taken some of the pressure, not only off of Julius Randle, but off of his former Villanova teammate, and obviously current Knick teammate, it's a beautiful thing to see, Jalen Brunson. So the addition of Josh Hart, for lack of a better term, has just been so paramount to this Knicks season. And it gives them a legitimate chance to make a bit of a run in the playoffs. It really does. And I want to make this clear off the bat. I do want to briefly go back over a few of the recent games, and we're going to get to the West. I'm going to save a lot of time because, boy, do I have a few things to talk about with the Western Conference playoff race. Holy bleep. But Josh Hart, with the way he plays, I do feel like he's turned the Knicks into, maybe they get into the playoffs too, they can make a run, right? It's changed that drastically. But going back to what I was going to say originally, Cleveland's a tough series. I really want to reiterate this because the Knicks have handled Cleveland in the regular season. They really have. I mean, I'm actually pretty surprised how well the Knicks have played the Cavs this season. They just went to Cleveland about a week ago and knocked off the Cavs by 14 in their own building. I mean, it was a really impressive performance. I mean, Jalen Brunson had 48. He was just off the charts good in that game. It was a career high. The Knicks won the season series 3-1 over Cleveland, and two of the games, the Knicks were clearly the better team. The December 4th game in MSG, the Knicks won by double digits, and then this recent game in Cleveland, they just crushed the Cavs. And to be fair, you go back to October 30th and you say, well, but Sean, they got waxed in Cleveland the first time. It's just two totally different teams at that period of time. October 30th feels like it was 10 years ago right now, considering where the Knicks have elevated themselves. And the fact that, yes, the Cavs have still had a very good season. They're very difficult to beat at home. They have one of the best home records in the NBA. But the Knicks showed again the other night that they can go on the road and beat good contending NBA competition. I thought it was arguably one of the five best Knick wins of the season. And there's been a lot of good Knick wins. The Knicks have really, and I was worrying about this early in the year, the Knicks have stacked up some really impressive wins this season. The two wins over Miami, they beat them three times, but the two most recent wins over Miami have been tremendous. The win in Boston back on March 5th stands out as well. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Knicks have had some really nice wins. They've won in Atlanta by 21 this season. They crushed the Celtics at home, blew out Brooklyn at home. I mean, again, there's a lot of them. And actually, the Knicks have won in Boston twice this year. Now, the tough part is, when you look at the draw, Cleveland's tough. Yeah, the Knicks handled them, but this is the postseason now. It's going to be difficult. But number two is, if you win, you get the Bucks next, most likely. You're probably going to get the Bucks. That's going to be a very difficult series. And I'll be interested to see. I'd love to see the Knicks get their shot at Milwaukee. Milwaukee has really given the Knicks trouble this season. But again, if it comes to this, a lot of things are still, you know, up in the air as far as this potential scenario. The Knicks, you know, haven't played the Bucks since January. That's worth noting, January 9th. The Bucks won all three games, but they were all close. They were all, except for the first game, single digits. 11, 6, 4. So, the Knicks have a chance. Trying not to dream too big here, right? But the Knicks have a legitimate chance to make some noise in the NBA playoffs. And that's just a beautiful place to be. It's just a such a nice sentiment to have. And yeah, the Knicks are locked into that five spot. They can't catch Cleveland. There's only two games left. Knicks are three back. Knicks can get to 49 wins, which would just be a tremendous season as far as the regular season is concerned. And again, the Cavs are 31-9 at home. So that's, again, daunting. But they're under 500 away from home. So if you get one in Cleveland, the Garden becomes, you know, a big home haven for the Knicks and could be a really, really fun postseason. And again, you know, I dream about, you know, some of the crowds we saw 2 years ago when the Knicks lost in five to Atlanta. I mean, the roof blew off the Garden four or five times a night in those first two games. It was just incredible to watch, and I would have loved to have seen them advance in that series. Didn't work out, but it's going to be electric. I can't wait to see it, and it's going to be a great series. Again, you know, we're waiting to see. You know, again, the Bucks are the one. Boston, Philly, still a chance to swap there. Probably going to be Boston 2, Philly 3. And then the real story, and as we kind of transition into the broader scope here, the real story in the East is going to be who gets the 6 and who gets the 7. It's a game and a half difference between Brooklyn and Miami. Philly most likely awaits, and it's going to be a really interesting situation there, because if the Heat don't get into the playoffs, right, if they have to play in the play-in round, they're either going to get one of the Hawks, Raptors, or Bulls in the play-in. I mean, that's not easy at all. So that's going to be tough. Again, the Heat will have the upper hand. They get an extra game if they lose to kind of fight back here. Or I guess they don't have to play an extra game, I should say. That's for, you know, the Bulls right now. The Bulls would play the Raptors, Heat play the Hawks. If they lose, they get another shot at either the, you know, the Raptors or the Bulls. So they get two shots at it if they need it. So it's all fascinating in the East right now. I mean, again, we know who's in the play-in. We know the 10 teams, right? The Magic tried to keep it alive. I must say, the Orlando's finished the season relatively strong, but we kind of knew it was going to be Chicago, Toronto, Atlanta, and then either Miami or Brooklyn in the play-in, and then whoever the other, you know, it's most likely going to be Brooklyn, but then the other will be the 6. So it's going to be a really fun Eastern Conference NBA playoffs. And again, just to reiterate, the Knicks of late, I mean, IQ, Josh Hart, Randall, Brunson, Robinson, I mean, Obi Toppin goes off for 32 in Indiana last night, in Indianapolis. I mean, just everybody clicking. And again, Indiana, this is not your classic, you know, contending Indiana. They've been faltering. They've lost 8 of their last 10. But the Knicks are rolling. It's great to see them playing well at the right time in the season. And now we'll get to see. You know, they have two regular season games left. They play New Orleans on Friday night. I think they're in New Orleans on Friday. And then they play the Pacers, I think, again to finish off the regular season. And that game will be on Sunday at Madison Square Garden. So the Knicks have a chance to finish this regular season strong. It'd be great to see them get up to 49 wins. And then we'll see how they can handle themselves in the postseason, but what a year it's been. And again, Josh Hart, his addition, I mean, you just can't overstate it. And I didn't even mention, you know, the likes of Isaiah Hartenstein and Quentin Grimes, who have started to pick things back up over the last month or so after they've struggled. And RJ Barrett, you know, has had some ridiculously good games. I mean, you know, since I last spoke to you, Julius Randle scored 57 in a loss, and then Jalen Brunson scored 48 in a win. I mean, you know, it's all been happening, but The biggest thing is the Knicks have won 5 in a row. They've won 8 of their last 11. I mean, you can even go over an extended run here of games. They've won 12 of their last 18 games. I mean, that's exactly where you want to be at the end of the regular season. And this month of March has been very kind to the Knicks. They've been a bit up and down at times. But this run where they've beaten Houston, Miami, Cleveland, Washington, where they came from behind, and then took care of Indiana in Indianapolis, we're starting to see the Knicks click. And again, you know, Jalen Brunson was hurt during part of this run, in and out of the lineup, and that's where Emmanuel quickly really shined. More great play from Julius Randle. You see some great work underneath from Hartenstein and Robinson and Hart. Grimes stepping up. RJ Barrett having big nights when he's needed to. So there's a lot to like about the current state of the New York Knicks. One thing that doesn't change is that we do need to take a break in the middle of the podcast. We will do so now. Lots still to get to here on the show. We will touch on the Western Conference. We touched a little bit on the East already, and I think you got a general idea of what's going on. Again, the biggest thing still to take care of, will Brooklyn be the 6 or the 7, and where will Miami fit into that equation as well? We'll take a break. When we come back, we will sort out the craziness in the Western Conference. Is Dallas going to miss out on the postseason completely? Where do the Lakers factor in? And can Golden State avoid the play-in? All of that and more is next on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Midtown and Rebound Podcast Network, all part of the Fans First Sports Network. The West. Where do we begin? I mean, so many storylines in the Western Conference to get to here. And we know this now about the West. This has been a decade long, maybe longer, storyline in the West. Just the piggyback riding that goes on and the, you know, leapfrogging that occurs. It's just incredible to watch. And the West, again, is the conference providing the late regular season drama. It always does. It's delivering again. And let's just start with this. The Denver Nuggets, I mean, they had a little bit of trouble in the middle of the season. They are going to, in all likelihood, be the top seed in the West. Memphis, boy, have they had a season. Holy smokes. They've had as up and down of a regular season as we can remember for a team. And I'll tell you what, they're still the 2 seed right now. At the end of the regular season, they will be a factor. How about those pesky Sacramento Kings? Light the beam. How about this? I mean, just an incredible regular season. 48 wins, already in the pocket. They've had an incredible year on the road. They've won 25 of their 40 road games this season. By the way, that's the best mark in the West. The Sacramento Bleeping Kings have the best road record in the Western Conference. I mean, who saw that coming? The answer is nobody. I mean, that's just insane. It's the second best road record in the entire NBA. Only the Bucks have a better road record in the NBA than the Sacramento Kings. I mean, what a year. And they're going to have home playoff games in the first round. Who they're going to play, I mean, could be fascinating, and we'll get to that in a second. But what a year to be a Kings fan. And Knicks fans can relate to this. What a time. What a time to be a Sacramento King. A huge hat tip to the players. I mean, the front office has been under so much scrutiny, but the players they've been able to get in place, got to give them some credit here, have proved to be worthy players. And it's been an incredible season. I can't state that enough. They're the team that has surprised me the most in the NBA this year by a mile. I don't have my preseason predictions in front of me. I will try to get those for the next episode of the podcast we do, which will be most likely early next week. So that's where we stand. I mean, it really is incredible to see that. Speaking of crazy seasons, by the way, we're talking about Memphis earlier. Phoenix. I mean, they were in quicksand for a good chunk of this season. They had so many injuries, so many problems. And even when they got Kevin Durant, right, we barely talked about that on this show because it's been so long since we last did a podcast, that Kevin Durant comes in and he was hurt when he first came in. But of course, the Phoenix Suns have figured it out, at least to a certain extent. They've won 7 of the last 10. They've won 6 in a row at the time of recording. They're pretty much locked into the 4 spot. I know they can't go any higher. Barring a crazy end of the season, I'm pretty sure they're stuck in the number four seed. Now this is where things get interesting, right? I mean, this is where the West really gets fun. Again, all likelihood that it's going to be Denver at the one, Memphis at the two, Sacramento three, Phoenix four, right? Right now, the Clippers are in fifth. They have an identical record to the team in sixth place, which is the defending champion, Golden State Warriors, who have just had one of, like, I can't think of a more Jekyll and Hyde season for a defending NBA champion. This season at home, they've been almost impeccable. 33-8. That's one of the best home records in the NBA. On the road, they've been one of the worst teams in the league. There are only a handful of teams that have a worse road record than the 9-30 on the road Golden State Warriors. So Golden State is going to have to figure out a way to win on the road in the postseason, because they're not going to get home court advantage in the first round. And again, that they shined on the road during last year's title run. I mean, historically, nobody goes into Boston in the NBA Finals and wins a championship. Golden State did it. You know, I think only the 85 Lakers with Magic and Kareem did that before Steph, Clay, and Draymond did it with the Warriors last season. So, regardless, the precedent is so crazy, but this year they've been so bad. I mean, they haven't even won 10 road games. It's just embarrassing the way they've played on the road at times. I mean, for those that don't follow Golden State, you know, game in and game out, and I'm not saying I do, I'm just saying I check in on them from time to time because they're fun to watch. They've literally thrown games away on the road. Just said, you know, we're good. Just thrown them away at times. And that's where the embarrassment kind of comes in. Almost arrogance of Golden State. Just say, seat us anywhere. You know, we don't need this one. Like, we're already down by 15. Yeah, you guys can have it. We'll win at home. We'll be fine. We'll see if that comes back to bite them, because there is still a chance that Golden State could end up in the play-in where they got eliminated 2 years ago by the Memphis Grizzlies. There's also a scenario still out there where Golden State could play Memphis in a 2-7 first round matchup. That is still in play, because there are two teams a game back of Golden State for the sixth spot. The Lakers, who have won 7 of the last 10 and started to figure it out a little bit. And the New Orleans Pelicans, who at one point were the number one seed in the West earlier this season, and were right around 2 or 3 when they weren't there. They plummeted. Now they've won 8 of their last 10, and they're basically a lock for the play-in, but will they get the 6th seed? I mean, that's still up for grabs. 2 games back of the 6th seed are the Timberwolves, who are only a game back of the Lakers and Pelicans, if we're talking pecking order, for the play-in. I don't know where to put the Timberwolves in the pecking order. This is around where I thought they were going to finish, but the way they've gotten there has made me scratch my head. I really don't understand. I don't understand 2 things about the Timberwolves. Number one, did they have a plan with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns before they made that move? Because he's been hurt so much, it's sort of worked out. But I don't know if this is a good thing for the playoffs to have them on the same team. It to me, it feels like they still haven't figured that out. And then the second part is their depth. I mean, I don't know if they have as much as I thought they did in their depth. The Timberwolves were exposed, I think, this year for a lack of depth. And they're a 500 team because of it. I mean, that's really one of the underlying stories that no one's talking about in the West, how mediocre, injuries or not, that Minnesota has been this season. The 10 spot is currently occupied by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I tipped my cap to the Kings. I might have to give a bigger hat tip to the OKC Thunder. I don't know how they're here. I can't explain it to you. They shouldn't be here. They still might not get in. They're tied with an identical record somehow with the Dallas Mavericks, who are potentially throwing this season away if they don't win their last few games here. The Kyrie addition, which we haven't talked about, again, it's been a while since we've done a show, couldn't have gone any worse. It's been a disaster. Luka's not happy. Mark Cuban's not happy. Kyrie's happy, I guess, because he's out of Brooklyn, but the performances on the court have been abysmal. I mean, all the talk has just been where, you know, how did they lose Jalen Brunson? They needed to keep him. Knicks fans like me are smiling because we are thrilled with how that's turned out. And Dallas has got to be thinking, we had the team last year. We just needed to build on it. They didn't. They lost a big piece in Brunson. They waited too long to address it. And Kyrie Irving coming in has made it even worse. And I remember when the deal happened, I remember thinking to myself, this is either going to be a masterstroke from the Mavericks front office, like a deal that works out brilliantly well, or it's going to blow up in their face. And the latter is playing out right now. They've lost 7 of their last 10. They don't look like a play-in team, let alone a playoff team. And they're lucky that the OKC Thunder are young and not good on the road this season, because Dallas might already be out right now if OKC had played a little bit better this year. I mean, they're already playing kind of out of their minds, but OKC Thunder, if they're a 500 team, the Mavs are already out. I mean, there's no discussion here. So it's crazy. It's crazy. And then the Utah Jazz are a game and a half back in 12. They still have a puncher's chance at it. I mean, what a great start to the season Utah had. It looked like they were going to keep it up. Since the All-Star break, they've been in and out of the play-in race. I think a couple times they've been in the top 6 since the All-Star break, if memory serves. And now they're running out of time very, very quickly. I give them a lot of credit. This was supposed to be a rebuild year. You trade away Gobert and Mitchell, and they're still in it with a couple of games left to get to the postseason. Fair play. I mean, this is kind of how you want to do it, right? I mean, they're still going to get a decent pick in the draft, if not a good pick, and you're still competitive. I mean, give the Utah Jazz front office, Danny Ainge, a lot of credit. They've done a really good job with this. And they can, it's house money for Jazz fans. If they get in, hey, free play-in games, free playoff games, cool. If they don't, let's see who we get in the draft. I mean, that's really where you want to be at this position in a rebuild if you're a team like the Utah Jazz sitting in purgatory. Where you don't want to be, and you can put the Thunder in the Jazz category as well. They've done, that front office continues to pull off miracles, it seems like. The place you don't want to be is in Dallas, Texas right now, because the Mavs are in danger of throwing away a season in Luka's prime here, and it's just unacceptable. There's really no excuses for this. They're too good, just because really of Luka and Kyrie, to miss the play-in completely. I mean, could you imagine? You know, Luka's frustrated. But imagine if he doesn't play any postseason games, not even any play-in games. I mean, that alone is a fireable offense from that front office. I mean, that's just not good enough. And there's, again, Kyrie comes in. He was hurt at the beginning. They didn't really flow. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for this if you're the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie Irving was a move that was supposed to do two things. Satisfy Luka being frustrated with the personnel he had around him because Jalen Brunson went to New York, and make you competitive this year to make another deep run in the NBA playoffs. Dallas was, what, 2 or 3 wins away from going to the NBA Finals last year, and they lost to the current, I should say, NBA champion Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. Luka's by far Luka's best run in the postseason. And to follow that up with potentially his worst, if you miss the play-in, I mean, there's frankly no excuse. And like I said earlier, potentially fireable offenses to the front office on that one. That's just, you can't accept that if you're Mark Cuban and you're the Mavericks organization. You have a top five player in the NBA who could end up being one of the greatest of ever we've ever seen in Luka Doncic, and you're throwing away one of his years here. You're just, we'll get him next time. It's just not good enough. And again, if you lose out to the OKC Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, I mean, there's words worse than unacceptable. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable that Dallas could finish behind OKC and Minnesota, and they're likely going to finish behind Minnesota, but if they can't get past OKC and slide into the play-in, again, it's already been a disappointment, right? The play-in would be a disappointment for the Mavs, especially the bottom end of it, but to miss it completely? I mean, that is where there could be some big changes this offseason in Dallas. I mean, there's just no way around it. Great to see this. I mean, again, the podcast will go out, I think, before this game happens, but the Jazz play the Thunder in Utah, and it's postseason on the line for both teams. Can't wait. I mean, that's just going to be, it's just going to be a great game. So much on the line. And then OKC hosts Memphis on Sunday. For Dallas, they've got a very winnable game against the Bulls, who basically have nothing to play for. They're already in the play-in. They can't improve their position. So Dallas, again, it's a must-win game anyway, but they really need to have that one. And then they get San Antonio on Sunday. Another game where you'd look and you'd say they should roll the Spurs over. The Spurs have had an awful year. They're 39 games under 500. You've got to beat them and get into the postseason. You know, like I said, you've got an easier schedule than OKC. Get the job done. You know, get in. It'll still be a disappointing season if you don't get into the playoffs out of the play-in. But Dallas has got two games left to salvage what's left of their season. And to me, it is one of the most shocking storylines of the entire second half of the season. To see what has happened to Dallas has been jaw-dropping. And part of it, you know, with Kyrie, I could see potentially coming, but the fact that Luke has been this upset, he said it publicly that he's just been frustrated about this team all year and the way it's played out on the court. It's just incredibly crazy. It's just wild. And we will see if the Mavs can give themselves a lifeline in these last two games. We will know by the next time we talk on this podcast where the Mavs sit and what their fate will be for the postseason. One last thing before I get out of here. Potential matchups for the Western Conference playoffs. I mean, so many good potential ones here. I mean, we could see Denver-New Orleans or Denver-LA in the first round. We could also see Memphis-Golden State. We could see Memphis-Lakers in the first round. We could see Kings-Warriors in the first round. Sacramento will be hopping. We could see Suns-Warriors in the first round of the playoffs. KD against Golden State is still very much a possibility. There is a scenario, by the way, where we could see Clippers-Lakers in a play-in in the first round as well. It's that tight right now, 5-8. So a lot is still to be determined. I will run through the schedules for those four teams because the last two games of the NBA regular season sometimes can be crappy. Just not a lot happening. Not much to play for. There's a lot going on. Like, there's a ton happening. Pelicans, we know a little bit. They play the Knicks on Friday. Then they go to Minnesota to finish the regular season. That's pretty tough. That's pretty tough if you're New Orleans trying to get into the top six. The Lakers have Phoenix at home, Utah at home to finish the regular season. Not going to be easy. Golden State, how fitting is this? The one, you know, 9-30 on the road this year. They have to go to Sacramento, where they could play in the first round, and then they have to go to Portland to finish the regular season. And in all likelihood, they're going to need two wins there if they're going to clinch a top six spot and clinch a place in the playoffs and avoid the play-in. The Clippers, again, currently sitting in fifth. They have to play Portland at home, and then in what could also be a potential first-round preview, they have to go to Phoenix to finish the regular season. And if it plays out the way it could play out, they might stay in Phoenix when that game is over, because they might start a first-round series with KD, CP3, Devin Booker, and the Suns. I can't wait to see how all this plays out. We'll have plenty to talk about on the next episode of the podcast. Until then, thank you so much, as always, for listening to the show. Can't wait to grow this show further with the Midtown and Rebound Podcast Network, all a part of the Fans First Sports Network family. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you all next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Midtown and Rebound Podcast Network, all part of the family of the Fans First Sports Network.